It's a blessing to be here with all of you today. We're going to start our Unite series today, which is entitled United Around the Core, which refers to our core values, and you can find them in our little core value booklet, which is back at the book table. I looked underneath the counter to make sure there was a few there if you want to get some when you leave today. Over the next several years during our Unite series, we're going to focus on those core values, and we're going to dive deeper into each of them. But this morning, we're going to dive a little deeper into the love and the grace of God. And I wanted to start out today with a sincere apology. As I look back over the years of pastoring, which have been 30 years now, I realize I did not always emphasize the grace of God and what Jesus Christ has done for us as much as I should have. And often I put more emphasis on our own personal responsibility to grow in our Christian faith. But quite frankly, the greatest gift that we have, the greatest inspiration for a Christian life, is the grace of God and what Jesus has done for us. And the grace of God is our greatest source of strength for living the Christian life. So today, my prayer and my desire is to take you deeper in your understanding of what it means to actually live in grace. So if you'd bow your head with me for a moment, I'd just like to ask the Lord to open our hearts this morning. Father, we just thank you for this story that we saw in the video, for it illustrates the incredible life-changing power of the grace of God, of this incredible gospel of God's love and God's forgiveness for our sins. What a beautiful thing, Lord. I look back on my own life and recognize that every single thing that I have today is because of your rich, undeserved generosity and goodness. I ask you this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we come to a new, fresh understanding of the gift of God through Jesus Christ, and that it would impact us today, impact us tomorrow, in Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, there's a passage there. I read it as a young man when I was 19, which was 42 years ago. I began to follow Christ. And this verse had a profound impact, sort of formation of my life and how I felt about my life. Paul says this, "For I consider my life useless to me, except that I complete the ministry that God has given to me to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." The grace of God is the spiritual air that we live and breathe. We're saved by God's grace. We live in God's grace. We live by God's grace through all the challenges and the difficulties of our life. It is this secret, supernatural gift and power that God has given to us, and it's free. It's God's grace, God's special favor, God's special generosity, God's undeserved, unearned love and goodness to us in all things because of Christ. We simply could not survive without the generosity of God. The word grace means gift. It symbolizes all the things that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, and none of them we can earn. They're a gift that we receive. I would like to read a passage to you this morning out of the book of Matthew. Most of you are going to be familiar with this passage, but I'd like to ask you a few questions about it this morning after I read. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. He's in front of a large crowd of people, probably tens of thousands of people, as well as his disciples who are close by. Jesus prayed this prayer. So Jesus is just talking away. He's been preaching away in the previous chapters. And all of a sudden, he just lifts his eyes to heaven and he prays. "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think of themselves as so wise and so clever, and for revealing it to the childlike, to the children, to the babies. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, so he stopped praying, and he looks at the crowd and he says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." How many of you have read that before? So let me ask you a question. Is that really true? Has it been your experience as you look back on your Christian life? For me, 42 years, but for many of you, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 1, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20. Wow, Lord, this has just been easy. Your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. I have had so much rest, Lord. Has that been your experience? Have you actually experienced that? Is God's burden really light? Is it? Is this just a euphemism? Is this just some bait and switch? Jesus is kind of, you know, the almighty salesman, and he's out in front of all the crowds, and he says to them, "Look, you're tired, you're weary, you're worn down. You got the law laying on you. You're feeling all the guilt of all your sin. Come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke, the yoke of," as the whole Bible then goes on to explain to us, "the yoke of grace. Because my burden is light and my yoke is easy." Is it possible that for much of your Christian life, you've misunderstood God and his grace? That's why for many of you, it may feel like, "Man, Mark, to be honest, the Christian life just feels like I'm wearing lead boots. I'm just tromping through, trying to get up and have my quiet time. I'm trying to do the right stuff, Mark, but it is just so oppressive, and it just weighs down on me, and I'm frustrated with myself, and I'm frustrated with God." Christianity is not a gun to our head. It's not God the tyrant with the sword of Damocles over our head that says, "You better do this," bam. It's kind of like the old Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming to town. He knows if you've been sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be it for goodness sake, or you're not having Christmas. And that's how we feel about God. I know this. Why do I know this? I'm not saying every single person in here, but to varying degrees, because I've been doing this for 30 years. I've talked to thousands of people. And I've spoken to thousands of people, and I have interactions with them afterwards. And often they're like, "Wow, Mark, that what you're describing, I want that. That is not by my experience in my Christian life." Are you resting? Are you resting in what Christ did for you? Are you resting? Like, "Lord, I'm just chill, man. I'm just relaxed in what you have done for me." I mean this sincerely. I don't wake up every day and think, "Oh, man, I got to love God today. I got to do this pastor thing today. I got to do this Christian thing today." I wake up and think to myself, "Wow, I get to love God today. I get to walk and talk with God today." My intensity, my drivenness, is not because I'm trying to get God to love me more, or I'm trying to make God happier with me. It's because I'm responding to how much God loves me, and I love him back. It's a response to the extraordinary gift that God has given to us. He's given me the same he's given you. You just may not understand it yet, but he's given me no more or less than he gave to you. Let me share another verse with you that often kind of people read it, and I acknowledge as a young man, I remember reading this passage and I thought, "Yeah, I don't think it means that." 1 John 5:3, "His commands are not burdensome." Are you kidding me? One version says, they don't weigh us down. They're not difficult. They're not really that hard. Like, what? Wait a minute, Lord, I'm telling you, you know, I get angry so easy. This being patient thing is not easy, Lord. And doing this, and rejoice always, and everything give thanks, Lord, I'm just failing all the time. His commands are not burdensome. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Jesus in the Gospels, this is very important to understand. I want you to think about this. Have you ever read any of the Gospels? Any of you read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Anybody here? You read a little, okay, you read a little. Maybe you've seen a movie about Jesus. The Jesus in the Gospels, you see him with the tax collectors. You see him with the sinners. You see him eating and drinking with the tax collectors and sinners. You see him with Mary Magdalene. You see him with the woman caught in adultery. You see him with his own disciples. You see him with the lepers. He was so loving and kind and compassionate, except to the Pharisees. And we understand why. We understand that Jesus was trying to, in their self-righteousness and their arrogance, put them in their place and drive them to grace, but they often didn't. But with the ordinary individual like you and I, Jesus was just very, very loving and kind and understanding. That Jesus of the Gospels is the same Jesus today after you got saved. It's not like somehow he flipped and now he's got multiple personalities and he's changed and all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, you're a Christian now, you know better. You better get your act together. He's the same Jesus. That Jesus who sinners found so much comfort in his presence is the same Jesus to you today. The Bible makes it really clear, if you read your Bible in the book of Hebrews, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you're writing notes, you want to write this down or just remember it. Do not put pressure on yourself that God is not putting on you. I find this to be one of the greatest stumbling blocks of believers as they're trying to grow in their faith. They put a pressure on themselves that's not, God is not putting it there. Why are you? Why are you? God is satisfied with you because of Christ. Are you satisfied with you? God is satisfied with you because of what Christ has done for you. We've got to learn to live in and enjoy what Christ has done. I want to give you an example this morning. Very clear analogy and example. You ever seen little children? Little children. Usually under 3, 2, 1. Little children. They just go through their day, enjoying their day. Mostly. I mean, they cry over small things. They get over it. And mom and dad just delight in them. I'll give you a picture of this. About 3 months ago, my daughter Jessica, I have 11 grandchildren. And one of my little granddaughters, her name is Charlie. And my daughter Jessica, it's kind of a miracle that she even had a child. And so Jessica and Mark brought, my son-in-law's name is Mark, bought my wife Kathy an iPad. I wouldn't have gotten one, but they got her this iPad. And so they can send her these videos. So Jesse iMessages send these little videos. And she's just always sending little videos of the cute things that Charlie does. And I think one of the reasons, to be honest, is Jessica's my daughter who was sick for 7 years in her home. And my wife cared for her round the clock for almost 7 years. And we at one time thought Jesse might never get out of her sick bed again. So for now, for her to have a baby, I think she just wants to share this little girl with us. So Charlie's just this little inner. Her father was a world-class gymnast at the U of M for years. So she has it kind of in her genetic code. And she's just this little mover, little girl. She started walking when she was 9.5 months. And by 10 months, she's real steady. And she's just walking around the house. Well, so about 14 months, my wife, Kathy, got her this little tiny chair, this lightweight chair. And so Charlie's this video. Little Charlie, she's picking up her chair. She just moves it wherever she wants in the house. The only thing that's off limits at the house is the toilet. There's a latch on it so she can't open it. And the stairs so she can't fall down. There's bars that go across it. She can't get down. And little Charlie just moves her chair. She'll sit down. She'll go over and grab one of her books. She has this pile of books. She loves books. She'll grab a book. And she'll just sit in her chair and she'll, dad, 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 dad. And then she drops the book. She gets up. She goes, get another book. And she gets that book. And she's, dad, 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 really concentrating. She'll just drop it down. She doesn't put it away neat. She owns the house. She just drops it wherever she wants to go. And then she goes off into the kitchen in her little body, in her little leggings, and she goes walking in the kitchen, and then she'll stop to dance. She loves to do this, and she puts her hand back, and the kids put on music. She just loves to dance. And then she runs down the hall, and she runs here and there. She's just free, man. She's just enjoying what her mom and dad gave her, and she's secure in their love. Charlie is not going through her day putting pressure on herself to be the perfect little daughter for mom and dad. I want you to think about that. She is not going through one of her days trying, focusing, feeling this immense pressure. I have got to be the perfect little daughter, or mom and dad are not going to love me. And if I was a more perfect daughter, they'd love me more. She's filled with joy. Her middle name is Joy. Because she's loved, and she's delighted in, and she understands that. Man, yes, Jesse sent me a few videos of her daddy, and he'll chase her around the house, and she'll just squeal with delight, as I know many of you do the same thing. You just delight in your children. Now, she's growing, and she's learning, and it's a natural outgrowth of her parents' love, but she's secure in her love. You and I are God's children. Did you know that? The Bible says in 1 John, behold, look, unbelievable, the manner of love that God has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. You are God's son and daughter. You are God's little children. And you know how God thinks of you? I'm going to cover this in a moment. We're going to be finished soon. Psalm 103 says this. Two of my favorite passages in the Bible is this particular two verses. And this passage has directed me as a father. It's helped me immensely as a father. But it's also helped me in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. It says this. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord tenderly empathizes with his children. For he knows our frame, and he realizes we're just dust. Here's what that means. I wrote this to myself many, many, many years ago. And actually, to be honest with you, I'd forgotten I'd written it. And someone recently started listening to a series I did called Our Heavenly Father. And they said, Mark, I don't know if you remember saying this, but it really touched me. So they sent me this Mark quote. God understands that you're a frail little ball of dust, and your world sometimes makes you come unglued. God has compassion on you, empathy, and he understands. His heart is moved. His heart is moved. God is not looking down on you with this unbelievable, dictatorial, tyrannical spirit. He loves you, and he's wrapped you up in his grace. He's wrapped you and enveloped you in his grace and in his mercy. You know, we give ourselves self-reviews all the time. And most of the time, they're bad. Have you noticed that? Most of the time, we look ourselves in the spiritual mirror or in our own mirror, and they're bad. I used to do something. I know it's going to sound silly. I'm a lot sillier than you realize. I know sometimes I don't appear that way, but around my family and when it's not on camera, I get pretty goofy, silly. When the kids were home, I have four, I used to walk in the house singing the song, who's got the greatest dad in the world? You do, you do. Who's got the best husband in the world? You do, you do. I rock your world, I rock your world. Yeah. Well, anyway, don't put that on film. No, I'm teasing Andrew. It's already there. My wife would sometimes jokingly say, oh, Mark, you know, Bible says not to praise yourself. I said, Kathy, I was encouraging myself. If I don't encourage myself, who's going to? And by the way, I never claimed to be a perfect dad. Never sang that once. Who's got the most perfect dad in the world? Never said that. Never said that. What does the Bible tell us? Finally, brothers, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy, put your mind on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Maybe you need to change a little bit the way you look at you. Maybe you need to remember what God has done in you. For God has given you a spirit by his grace, and you have the power to be loving, kind, gracious, gentle, patient, self-controlled. He's changed us. He's changed us. His grace to us revolutionizes our life. God sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That is not like a theoretical, deep theological truth that is sort of like, you know, well, it's true, but it isn't true. Right now, as you stand, as you sit, as you drive home, if you know Christ, in the grace of God, you're clothed in the righteousness of God. When Jesus said, God the Father said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom is all my delight." Did you know God says the same thing about you? You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son in whom I find all my delight. God delights in you. He enjoys you. Have you ever seen, most of you have experienced this. Becoming a father was the greatest thing ever happened to me. I had to get married first, so Kathy is that great, great blessing in my life. But the privilege of being a father, and I remember when little Celeste was born, she was my first. And they put her in my arms. It was just like this love affair happened. I've been in love. I'm still in love with my kids. I can still sit in my office right this morning here and just well up with emotion because I love those kids. I don't deserve to be their dad. I feel so incredibly blessed. When I hold my grandchildren, when I see them, there's so much joy in my heart. I am just a wicked human being apart from Christ. God's delight in you goes way beyond that. The Bible says in Zephaniah that he rejoices over you with shouts of joy. God is not inhibited. I sort of am. You may not think I am, but I am sort of uninhibited. But sometimes when I'm alone, man, I just cut loose. And I remember when Jesse and Mark, my daughter, after she got well and she got married, 3 months later, she got slammed into by a drunk driver, if you can believe it. It's the truth. And it just kind of turned our world again upside down, and her body went through a ton of stuff. So she and Mark came and lived with us for a while. And little Charlie was conceived in my basement. In their bedroom. And little Charlie came home to live with us for the first 6 months. I'm telling you, I remember, I just one day randomly said to Kathy, I said, Kathy, this was before, you know, the accident even. I said, I got baby fever. I just need a baby in this house. She said, well, Mark, you had some. I said, I know, but I need another one. I love babies. I love children. I love them. And Jesse and Mark came home, and I would sneak down. I'd knock on the door and say, Jesse, sweetheart, can I have the baby? Well, I know you need some rest, Jesse. I know you need some rest. I'll take the baby. So I take the baby. This is no lie. I go upstairs to our bedroom, and sitting in a rocker next to the bed where my daughter for 7 years cried and suffered in pain. She was bedridden for 4 of those years. I am sitting with her baby that came out of that womb. And I would sit there and I'd time it. Sometimes it was 3 hours. Jesse would come up, finally knock, Dad, can I have my baby back? I said, well, yeah, it's been 3 hours. Is that too long? And I would sing to her, just like I used to sing to my kids. Jesus loves me. Songs that I wrote, tears streaming down my face, because I just love this little kid. I was so bad you could understand the heart of God to you. You move the heart of God. He loves you. He finds a lot of joy in you. He is not sitting up there going, crap, why did I adopt that one? Oh, this is the last thing I needed. He loves you. It's the truth. He loves you. The Bible says in Colossians 1:22 that you are blameless and without a single fault in the eyes of God. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you. I want you to think about that. He said it. I'm not making this up. If you're going to believe John 3:16, then you have to believe this. The Bible says because of what Christ did, he brought us into the very presence of God in where we stand blameless without a single fault because of what Jesus did. I wonder what that would do to your life if you began to think that way. I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but crediting it all to the grace of Jesus. Lord, look what you've done for me. Look what you've done for me. That's the grace of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for your incredible grace. Your grace, Lord, has come to me in every possible way. I don't deserve the life you've given me. I don't deserve the wife you've given to me. I don't deserve the children you've given to me, nor the grandchildren you've given, nor the church, nor the co-workers in the gospel that you've given to me. You've been so good to me because of your grace, because of your generosity and your unearned favor that you've just lavished. As Ephesians says, you lavished on us the riches of your grace. I pray that we would come to learn, like little Charlie, to just live in it, to just live in it. As we go about our day to day, just relax and rest in what God has accomplished for us through his Son, that we take on that yoke of Jesus and remember that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Lord, just bless every single one of these folks in Jesus' name. Amen.